Today's special edition of LifeSpring, the LifeSpring Weekend Music Show, and Life Out of Step is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/LifeSpring. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, iPhone, iPad, or MP3 player. Hello and welcome to a special edition of LifeSpring, the LifeSpring Weekend Music Show, and Life Out of Step. I'm Steve Webb. The world is just a little bit poorer and heaven just a little bit richer with the passing of Kevin Thompson this past Sunday, May 30th, 2010. Who is Kevin Thompson, you ask? Well, he's the guy playing the bass on the music you're hearing right now and on the rest of the music you'll be hearing on the show today. He's one of the founders of the Sweet Comfort Band. He was, according to all accounts, one of the most solid believers you would ever want to meet. You'll hear more about that in just a few minutes. If you're not familiar with the Sweet Comfort Band, or SCB as they were sometimes called, let me give you a very brief synopsis of their history. SCB was formed in 1972 and played their first gig right here in Riverside, California. I believe the venue was what was then called Calvary Chapel of Riverside. Now it's known as Harvest Fellowship, with Greg Laurie being the pastor then and now. This was during the Jesus movement, and they brought a new style of Christian music, a sort of mixture of rock, jazz, and funk that had never been heard in this context. The Jesus music up to this point was sort of a folk rock or soft rock with the likes of Love Song, Children of the Day, Mustard Seed Faith, and others. SCB's tight instrumentation and energy set them apart at the time. By the time they played their last concert, also here in Riverside in 1984, they had sold millions of albums and contemporary Christian music had been forever changed. If you've been a listener for a while to the LifeSpring shows, you know that one of my good friends is Brian Duncan, who was one of the lead vocalists with Sweet Comfort. It was from Brian that I learned of Kevin's passing, and I thought it would be good to hear from him his memories of Kevin, so I asked him to come into the studio. Then I thought how cool it would be if we would call the other Sweet Comfort Band members, drummer Rick Thompson, who was Kevin's brother, and guitar player and vocalist Randy Thomas, to see if we might be able to get a conference call together and get their input as well. It was short notice, and Randy couldn't join us on the phone from Nashville, but Rick, who I just learned lives right here in Riverside, was able to come into the studio. Little comment here before I roll the conversation. I had the door to the studio open, so my dog comes in and out, and he shakes, and his collar makes noise and stuff like that. So don't let that distract you, and I think you will enjoy the conversation we had. So without further ado, let's get to it. Well, hey, I'm here with a couple of guys, and the first one I'm with, you've heard from before on the LifeSpring show, and it's Brian Duncan.
Oh, that's good. I was wondering who that would be.
Brian, how you doing, man?
It's good to be back.
Good to have you here.
Thanks for coming.
But, well, yeah... As we sit in my studio.
Line. Yeah, we're reading off the cue cards.
Hey, thanks for coming.
It's good to be here.
Okay. Well, we're here for kind of a serious reason, but Brian, you've got somebody that you're going to introduce to.
Well, we're here for a serious reason. We're here to talk about Kevin Thompson, bass player for the Sweet Comfort Band, founder of the band. And this is his brother that I brought with me, and also drummer for the Sweet Comfort Band, Rick Thompson. Say hi.
Hello.
Hey. Thanks for coming, Rick.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
All these years, you've been a neighbor, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah, River City.
So I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
I wish it was under other circumstances.
Yes.
But we're here to talk about Kevin, who just recently passed away. What day was it?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay. That would be Sunday, May 30th?
May 30th, right. Yeah. We are recording this on Wednesday, June what? 2nd. So let's talk just a little bit about the cause of death.
Well, Kevin, over the last 4 years ago, he became a quadriplegic. Just one day, actually, just standing up. It wasn't like he was in an automobile accident.
Right.
He was just standing up. He over a period of a couple of months, he had been getting numbness in the hands and the feet. And he would tell me about that. He'd just say, tingling in my hands. And he'd go to the doctor, and they just said, could be sugar diabetes, could be something of that nature, and they never really tested anything.
Right, he was a big man.
He was a big guy.
Right.
And so he ended up being up in Idaho and with his wife. They were up there on vacation, and he got out of the car, stood up and fell down and couldn't get up. And he turned to his wife and said, you know what, I can't get up. and she couldn't pick him up. He was a big guy, mm-hmm. and called 911, and they did, and he ended up going through emergency surgery up there, and we got the call. He wasn't probably going to make it, but if he did make it, he'd be a quadriplegic, which was, you know, we're down here thinking, how could that, how do you fall down and not be able to get back up?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was up there for about 6 months, and then they flew him down to Loma Linda by helicopter all the way from there to Loma Linda, and he stayed there for mm-hmm. a good, probably 4 months. And so he, I think the interesting thing about that, we went to, they called the family in because, you know, when you go through something like that, they want the family support. So they bring us all in, and they, Kevin said, come on down. The doctor and the whole panel wanted to meet with us, and they, with me and my other brother. So I'm kind of running late. Hit the traffic, get in there about 10 minutes late, and I hit the door, and it's a doctor with a chart explaining where Kevin was hurt and why he was a quadriplegic, because we didn't know why.
Right.
And so when I came to the door, Kevin introduced him to me as his brother Rick. And the head surgeon goes, are you Rick from Sweet Comfort Band? I said, yeah. And he goes, I accept the Lord at one of your concerts up in Sacramento.
Wow.
And he goes, I'm so honored that you guys are here in the hospital. I mean, it's just a weird thing. We go there to, Kevin's in there, and Kevin told me the story. The guy walked up to him while he's working on him and goes, are you Kevin? The one who played bass for Sweet Comfort Band years ago.
Yeah.
And so that really was sort of a little miracle for Kevin.
Yeah.
That, you know, probably at his lowest moment, here's this guy that is kind of blown away that Kevin's in the room.
Right.
And that guy has taken special care of him and always calling him, checking up on him over this over the next 4 years after that until
right.
just recently.
Right.
And he went in about a week ago with a congestive heart failure where you just, you know, I'm learning even what that is, you know, where mm-hmm. you just, the water retains in your body and you just can't get rid of it.
Right.
And then we found out as everything started shutting down. So we knew around Saturday and that it was, you know, it would probably be that weekend.
Okay.
And it was. It was mm-hmm. Sunday.
So was this a consequence then of his quadriplegia?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he had been in a couple times. And the one thing I could say about Kevin, he was so positive. He was always like that.
Mm.
You know, we'd go somewhere and, I don't know, things weren't going right. And Kevin would somehow find the positive thing out of it.
Mm.
Almost to a fault. It was like, I don't know. But it works. It worked for him even in this because I never caught him on a down day.
Right.
It was always like, hey, how you doing? Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm great. Couldn't be better.
Well, I know in Brian's article that he wrote on his website, he said that Kevin never had a down day. He never was angry about what had happened, didn't feel pity for himself.
No.
Just always.
He didn't. And that was, that kind of turned me around too in my thought process of where I'll go through things or have a bad day. And Kevin would call me and say, I hear you have a headache. Or I hear you have a cold. How are you doing? I'm praying for you. Oh, I'm doing fine. Fantastic. You know, and I, you know, and he didn't, he wasn't faking it.
Yeah.
That's how he was.
That was his makeup.
He was very concerned about other people.
Right.
And even in the end, you know, when he heard that we were getting together again, he wanted to come by and see us. So he got in his wheelchair and came in and, you know, was excited just to be there and see what we were up to.
That's awesome. So tell me about the early days, not going back to like his childhood, but getting started with the Sweet Comfort Band and share with us some of the really cool memories that you have of Kevin and the group that you think that the fans out there would want to hear, that you'd want people to know about him.
Well, I think the thing is with Brian, you know, Kevin was my, he would, if I said, Kevin, would you go over there? Because I was shy.
Okay.
Would you go over and talk to that guy and and or whatever it was, you know, because I play drums and play guitar, and in the instance with Brian, we saw him at a Monday night, and I turned to him and I said, God, he can sing. We need to get a hold of him. Why don't you go up to him and invite him over to my house? And he did. See, well, he could do that.
He showed up, it was the height of the Jesus movement, and, yeah. The hippie culture was going. Rick here had hair to his belt buckles. You know, I mean, he used to get tangled up in your guitar string.
Yes,
didn't
it did.
Serious?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, that's funny.
He really long hair. And Kevin had an afro, and I was going to a Christian college. It was just clean cut and slick as a whistle. And I remember the first time I met Kevin, he said, well, you know, I'll just meet you in the lobby of the dorms at Southern California College. And I came downstairs, and he's sitting out there in an afro, just right out of the hippie culture, and, you know, in the museum of Christian saints, I suppose.
Right.
I remember being kind of embarrassed and going, oh, yeah, that guy's here to see me. All right, well. But he said, well, my brother, I play bass, and my brother plays drums, and just wanted to know if you wanted to get together and maybe jam a little bit, see what we could do. And I'm going, hey, I only know three chords, so, you know, if I could add drums and bass, that might distract the audience a little bit. So I guess that was the first thing. He's driving a little Datsun 710, little tiny thing. His afro was bigger than the front seat.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's how Kev was. He wasn't afraid. He would go up to somebody. He was bold in that way, and really, that's probably what got us through a lot of things when we were starting out. I mean, we were together for 2 years, and I think no one had us back.
Yeah, you know, we thought about changing our name a couple of times.
Like, what's up here? But we didn't know what. There were other groups out there that we weren't the only Christian group out there, but we came out of a different era. Kevin and I did. You know, Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think
I've got some Grand Funk down there in my collection.
Exactly. So that's what we were pretty much growing up on, and Sly and the Family Stone and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I wasn't out of the country movement much. I mean, I love the Eagles now, but back then it was more like kind of Black Sabbath. Kevin was into it, all those things.
Uh-huh.
And then we became Christians. So we had played together for years. So when we met Brian, I thought, well, there's somebody who isn't normal either. So we ended up.
Even back then, he wasn't normal?
Yeah, no, he wasn't. So it was a perfect fit. So, but with, you know, that's how it was with Kevin. He wasn't afraid. He'd get back up, you know, and keep. He was our booking agent. He was the guy who would, like Brian had said earlier, I saw one of Brian's articles. He was the guy who would set up the PA. Get the gigs, do the talking, get everything.
And be the driver of the Winnebago.
Right. That's right. And so that's what his gift was.
Okay.
And I think without that, I don't think we would have gotten. It just was, you know, talent matters.
Absolutely.
But it really, it's always more than that. It's that drive. And he had the drive.
Well, sure. I've seen other groups that I thought, you know, these guys are going to go a long way, and they never do. So you're right. It's not just talent. There's got to be more to it. And obviously, I really believe God had his blessing on your guys' music, too, because you did touch so many hearts. I mean, the Spirit really worked through your music. And so, you know, I know Kevin was certainly important, but, you know, the Lord's blessing on it had a whole lot to do with it as well.
When I was alone, I came to know a friend of mine. When I was never hard to find, loneliness would leave me. That is when I learned to say, I love you, I love you. When I was alone, searching for a melody, I sang a sweeter song and gave it as a gift to me. That which I
besides being the, you got to know, besides being the booking agent and the driver of the Winnebago and the roadie and the PA setup guy and the sound man and the bass player, Kevin was also the evangelist. That was the main thing, is that we would play these concerts, you know, and then he would stop at some point, and he was always doing some little vignette or a sermon, you know, present the gospel.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah, I forgot to put that in on the article. That.
No, I think that's in there.
Is it in there?
I think so.
Yeah.
Somewhere I read that he was
the evangelist. I lost track, but, you know,
I'm pretty sure that you said that.
I'm running out of hats for Kevin to wear.
So. So was he, did the other members ever do the evangelism too, or was it, he was the designated evangelist? I mean, did you guys, I only saw you twice in concert.
No, he pretty much was the talker.
Yeah, he was the talker, and we knew at that point with the band, everybody had their place. We finally figured it out. We were together for almost 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
So we knew where we fit. And when we tried to get out of that realm where maybe I tried to talk, that
right.
was a mistake.
Yeah.
And I was too attention deficit to stay on task.
Yeah.
You know, if I could start a subject, but who knows where we'd wind up.
That's funny.
That's right. I remember one time we were playing up in Sacramento, and I played drums, but there was a moment where I had written this song called Ooh, It's the Spirit, and the guy said, hey, Rick, let's do that song. Oh, okay, so I get out there, and it's running through my mind. You know what? I'm here. Brian's singing background to me for me, and I'm playing a song I wrote. And I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. I'm looking good. And the problem was when I was a kid, I had lost my front teeth, and I had like a flipper, like six teeth. And when you I didn't share that with many people. But when we're up in front of about 3,500 people, when I said sang the word spirit, my teeth went into the audience.
No.
And, I think I said a couple words, sang it was the spirit, and they went in, and I dove into the audience and to get my teeth. And it was the most humbling thing and I never really wanted to get up there again.
I can't imagine why.
No, I didn't. And
but he did invent stage diving. That was about 15 years before stage diving actually took on.
So... Years went by, probably 6 years went by, and I was up in Sacramento. I went to a mall, and I'm walking through, and a guy goes, I know who you are. And I'm going to think, the drummer in Sweet Comfort Band. I know he's going to say that.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, aren't you the guy who jumped into the audience to get your teeth off the carpet? Yeah, that was me.
Oh, that's great. Well, I hope you're enjoying the conversation. And the music that you're hearing is from my own personal vinyl collection. It's from the first Sweet Comfort album called Sweet Comfort. We are going to get right back to the conversation in just a second, but please allow me to take just a moment to tell you that for you, the listeners of the LifeSpring podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. With over 75,000 titles from which to choose, I know you'll find some great titles that you'll enjoy, but it seems appropriate to recommend Oswald Chambers' classic devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, because I happen to know that it's Brian Duncan's favorite. He often quotes something that he's just read to me, and I know from reading it myself that Chambers' writings are insightful, challenging, and encouraging. There's a reason that this is a classic, folks. It can be yours today for free. To download this or any other Audible title for free, just go to audiblepodcast.com/lifespring. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/lifespring for your free audiobook. Now let's get back to the conversation and more great music. So any kind of funny stories about a gig that involves Kevin? I mean...
Well, nothing that we can put on the air. I mean, there's hysterical stories. I commented before that, you know, there's like four temperaments in the Sweet Comfort Band. I remember reading a book while we were on tour about the temperament types.
Oh, yeah.
There's phlegmatic, choleric, sanguine, and what's the other one?
Melancholy. Maybe. Whatever.
Well, I mean, it's as different as night and day, and it's almost exact duplicates. Kevin was the choleric, you know, take charge kind of guy,
okay.
And he was the one that, I think that's why I like driving the bus the most, is because then he was in charge. It was like, and so I mean, he would always be the guy passing out information and stuff, and he always had some ways of saying, you know, stuff that we would wind up quoting for years. You know, he's like, "Kevin, how much farther is this gig?" And, "Oh, about 4 miles." And it's like 2 hours later, "Kevin, it's the longest 4 miles I've ever been on." It's pretty soon. It was between the band. It was like, "Well, you know, where do you think, you know, how long before we eat?" "About 4 miles." It became his famous Kevinisms. I remember one of them. I don't know if you remember. We're sitting in a restaurant where he made some obnoxious thing saying, "There's more calories in that omelet than there is in these pancakes." Right. And I'm going, "Oh yeah, that's right, because you're an authority. There are now not as many calories in a stack of pancakes."
So who was the older brother?
Kevin.
Okay.
He's a year older than me.
All right. So that kind of explains it. I mean, he's the oldest of the family, right, as far as the kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No.
Kevin. Was there just two?
No, I have another brother. He's a year younger than me, so it's okay. Like 1, 2, 3.
So you're the middle one.
Yes.
All right. So I've got 3 boys myself, and so I'm thinking, you know, my oldest son, he's the take charge kind of a guy, and then my youngest is really creative, and the middle guy is a lot like I am, you know, very serious most of the time, and more quiet, more reserved.
Yeah, well, my other brother, he's has his own business, and I have my own business. Well, Kevin, when we were younger, my dad got us a lawnmower, and he said, "You guys aren't going to sit around the house on Saturdays and watch cartoons all day when we're 12. You're going to go out there and mow yards." Well, Kevin, in the early times, he would go out there, he would sell the jobs and collect the money. And my other brother, Kim Thompson, we'd be mowing the yard, doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
And
Kevin took advantage.
He was running the business. He had all the money. And after a while, after about, you know, 6 months of that, I realized I wanted to be Kevin. I wanted to do that. But he was setting up for what he was going to do his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He could talk and he could sell and he could, you know, he was a good communicator.
Okay. So after the band, what did he do?
He ended up going to Florida and playing music out there for about 5 years. And then he came to work for me. I have a construction company too.
Okay.
Did that. He could sell, same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I kind of leaned on him to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Go talk to that person. You go do that. He was able to do that. And then his sons, Josh and Eli. Eli is a great bass player. And he just signed with, I could even say the wrong record company. I think it's Atlantic Records. I could be wrong in that. But
okay.
I just talked to Eli, and great bass player, plays all over the place. And he's doing well, and Josh is a guitar player, and so they kind of picked a lot from Kevin.
Okay,
very
cool.
Musical ability, if
uh-huh.
that's a word, but they're out there still playing.
Cool. So after the band, then you went into construction. Was that the first
thing?
Well,
I know my dad always said I had to have a backup.
Okay,
he said you can't do this music thing forever. You have to be thinking other things to do.
Uh-huh.
And he was right. But music to me is almost like a curse because you can't let it go.
Yeah.
You know, when I write, I've always been involved. I built a studio because I got tired of running down to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's back in the 70s and 80s. That's where all the studios were.
That's right.
I had to drive down there and spend a lot of money. So I thought, no, I'm not doing that anymore. So I built my own.
Okay.
And so then I became a studio owner. So now I have a studio business and I write
uh-huh.
songs. So
awesome.
That's what I do.
And you guys have been writing, Brian and you have been writing music now for a new Sweet Comfort reunion.
That's right. And so it's been good. I know I'm excited because I didn't know how it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know. And I've grown and he's grown and the way he writes and I'm amazed at the way he puts lyrics together.
I know, it's amazing.
No, it's good. And
yeah.
And the melodies and just how he comes up with things. So it's a good fit. I understand why we were working back then in the early days, in our 20s. And so I'm even understanding now why the Lord has us writing now. And I'm expecting good things. I'm not expecting anything but it to be better. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, they want to kind of go revisit the past. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But the Lord has, we've grown over the years.
Sure.
We've been apart for 25. I could tell you, I don't even want to count, but it's up there.
Right.
And so we came together. I was curious how it could work.
Right.
Well, originally, Randy Thomas had talked about, you know, doing something together again, but it kind of smacked of, at that point, it kind of, I'm going, I just don't want to go back and rehash all the old stuff, although I still know that if we play a concert, they're going to hear all the old stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to have to hear
really,
some of the
we're
old
going
stuff.
To do that.
But what picked my interest about this was, what would the Sweet Comfort band sound like if we had been playing the whole time, and what would we be saying now, you know, 20 years later, 40 years later.
That's scary when you say
that. I can't remember how many years it has been, but what would they be saying right now? So that was more interesting, was the idea of doing new material, you know, based on the foundation that SCB had. And, you know, Kevin certainly put the mission statement in the band. I mean, you know, his favorite song was Get Ready, and, you know, he liked heavy rock and roll kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't have a lot of support from Randy and me on that end, because we were jazz and, you know, blues more adjusted. But
right.
The combination was such that, and combined with his speaking at the concerts, that was the mission statement of the Sweet Comfort Band, is, you know, clearly you need to know Christ personally, and Jesus is coming back,
right.
and that was the focal point of the Sweet Comfort Band, and just about everything we did was evangelistic, very evangelistic in nature.
Oh, I got to believe in something.
probably thought we were going to turn the world on their ear. We turned some lives on their ears.
Yep.
Which was, it's good to see and to look back and see, you know, Kevin and his vision for what we were doing. I just thought, what would we be saying now in the light of evangelism, in the light of the fact that, okay, Jesus hasn't come back yet. We're still here.
We all expected that we would not be here now at
yes,
that
we
time.
Did.
I mean, we were
exactly.
expecting, you know, late
thinking,
70s,
yeah,
early
late
80s.
70s.
It's any day. Mm-hmm. And it still is any day.
So, you know, the things that we're saying now, I mean, the songs, it's almost like we've got an instant. What would we say now, you know, about our life and our commitment to Christ? And we've come up with some outrageous songs. One's called Something Else Is Going On Here. It's about living with a reality that we don't see everything that's happening. What was that other song? The one that Kevin heard was that we finished called Oh, Then I Remember You.
Yeah, and I Remember You, and that's the one we're going to be working on this week.
We've
had it in the can for the last couple months, and mm-hmm. now it's time. I think it was coming together. In fact, that's the last thing I said to Kevin. I said, I talked to Brian. We're going to be down working on this song, and he had heard it before. Uh-huh. And I said, we're going to start this week, and that's this week.
Yeah.
So and we are. He was excited about it because he was probably our biggest supporter of doing this.
Cool.
And
but of course, you know, I'd hope that, you know, when we first started talking about maybe playing concerts as the Sweet Comfort Band again, I thought for sure that he'd be able to wheel out in a wheelchair even and still deliver some kind of a message like he always did.
Right.
I didn't realize how much his quadriplegia limited him and how many problems he was still having.
Mm.
The least I expected was when you called me and said, "Wow, he's taking a turn for the worst." I couldn't imagine that within that, what was that, 3 days?
Yeah.
Within 3 days, it was done. Mm. I've never seen anybody go that fast, you know, and I've done a lot of funerals recently, so.
Right.
That's unfortunate that he wouldn't get to be there for the finalization of some things.
Yeah. But God's timing is not ours.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It is perfect, so.
Well, we've got a song about that, too, called All in Good Hands, All in Good Time. And, you know, all of the songs that we've been working on have got this grain of truth about the longevity and about faith that doesn't waver regardless of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we've all been through life where we thought we knew the answer. We really thought this is the way it's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And it never does.
Nope.
It never does. And but that's the thing about at least having a passion for Christ and knowing Jesus that says I need at least one stable factor in my life because I don't know what's coming next week.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that most impresses me about Kevin's last days is that he could go through something like the loss of his arms and legs. He always prided himself on his strength.
Mm-hmm.
He was always throwing those big, you know, those JBL cabinets, or it was Mitchell cabinets, those big Mitchell cabinets around.
It'd take two of us to move it. He'd just pick them up. We had a flat tire once, and we didn't have a jack. Kevin lifted the van up by himself.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he did. He picked the van up.
And later, I had a little car, and I had a flat tire, and I was with somebody else, and I remembered that Kevin had done that. And I went to go pick up the car. I couldn't budget. But he could pick it up by himself.
Good grief.
It was amazing. He had a strength there, and he's right. You know, when he finally got down to where he could move his hands or his legs, he just, you know, he's a quadriplegic.
Right.
The strength was in.
He just discovered that his strength was inner.
That's
was an
right.
inner driven thing, which seems almost superhuman.
Yeah.
It's better than lifting a car.
Right.
To have a faith that says, I believe God's in control of my life and he can take me where he wants me. Man, I don't even have that kind of close
mm-hmm.
relationship to God that I wouldn't whine
yeah.
about anything.
Well, how hard would that be if you've relied on your physical strength your entire life and had a certain amount of pride in that, and then all of a sudden it's taken away?
That's right.
Boom.
Yeah, I visited him. The first time I saw him in several years after the band broke up was at the Loma Linda, and he was sitting there, and I remember thinking, wow, he's awful calm for the circumstances he's in. He's just sitting there casually chatting about, you know, what he can't do now. He says, mm-hmm. well, you know, I can't reach things, you know, somebody has to scratch my foot. I can't move. And he was so calm about it, I wondered if he was on medication then.
Yeah, for years they thought he was going to crash.
Yeah.
They thought something's not right here.
Sure.
And that kept going on, and I think the doctors were waiting for it because they thought there was something wrong with him because he wasn't depressed.
Well, that's the
natural
thing.
He had bad
thing.
Days, don't get me wrong. I mean, he wasn't, but I don't know if I could have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave him that strength. And, you know, and life's a journey. I mean, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Greg Laurie, his son.
Yeah, exactly.
About, I don't know, a year and a half ago in a car crash.
Yep.
And I'm sure that on that day that was the farthest thing from Greg's mind.
Of course.
But how that in our life, it's a journey, and we learn new things, and we have to endure things, and the Lord's with us. And I think that as we get older, we get hopefully wiser. And
hopefully.
Yeah, but I have all my kids. I have six daughters, and they all kind of, you know, come to me for the answers now. And
oh, that's isn't
I just
that
hope I have the right one.
Yeah.
When they're asking.
That's so nice when they do that, because when they're growing up and they're thinking you're just an idiot.
Well, that has happened too. So it's starting to swing around. As I get yeah. older, it's starting to swing a little bit like, hey, Dad, what about this instead
yeah.
of don't talk to me now and
right.
slam the door in my face.
Right. That feels good when that finally starts to happen.
Yes. And it does.
It
you
does.
Know how they do turn around. And
mm-hmm.
and really that's what happened to me too. I thought my parents didn't know what they were doing. And then after a while, as I got older, I would come to my dad and ask him, hey, what about this and what about that? So I see that happening now with
right.
my kids.
Yeah, that's good.
Whoa, whoa. Let me love.
I've heard Brian has played for me a couple of the tracks that you guys are doing, and it's, I got to tell the listeners that you are in for a treat when they come out with the final product, because as much as you remember the Sweet Comfort Band as being just a fantastic tight group, that's what these guys are writing. They're writing some fantastic music. And so, you know, I think that's a neat legacy, too, that, you know, Kevin's going to leave behind. Just the beginning of the Sweet Comfort Band up to here we are in the 2000s and some new stuff. So,
well, you know, there's a, we're, I'm really hoping, and I don't, I'm kind of speaking out of turn a little bit, but I'm really hoping that we might get a chance to at least play that song or sing it somehow at the, at Kevin's funeral. Mm. The song "Then I Remember You," it's a little guarded, but the lyrics in the chorus go, "And I've crossed a bridge 1,000 times until I've lost a sense of how deep the chasm where someone gives and nothing changes, and then I remember you." And it's like the song was designed to be about Christ, and right when you think that, you know, all of your effort is for nothing, you start to see that Christ's effort was a bridge that you got across several times. You know, when the bridge is out, you don't realize how long the journey is around because you don't have the bridge. And, you know, in this case, you know, it's almost become like a thing that I think about with Kevin. Is Kevin was a bridge for all of us, the same way Christ was, that when he is gone, there's a chasm there that we had no idea how deep was.
Mm. That's good. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to end this little conversation. Thank you, Brian, for coming over.
Oh, yeah.
Rick, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Great to meet you. And hope to see you again.
We'll send you some music you can play to this.
Hey.
At some point. Maybe you can throw something in when we get it done.
That'd be awesome. I was going to end the show, actually. Probably shouldn't do it, but how could I not? I'm going to play Get Ready at the end of...
No, I think that'd be appropriate, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
So you'd probably start with a bass solo then.
But with rights and everything, I know that probably Light owns that music, don't they? I'll bet they do.
We'll talk.
Okay, we'll talk. Okay, we'll talk. Good.
I think there's a way to
do
that.
But you got to remember, I think Brian is in his early 20s when you're hearing his voice now.
Yeah.
And we're kids. I mean, we're not.
No kidding.
Yeah, but
you know what, though? Every time I read a review of a concert that he does, people say he's still got it.
He does.
And he's still got it. Maybe
that's because I'm singing in lower keys.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that. Maybe not quite the same key, but...
No, I've gone up there. When we did it, remember we did that gig out in Moses Lake? It was a big amphitheater in Washington State. And I remember it was like the first time we'd played together. We did one reunion, what was it, 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I played, I remember launching into Isabel and Valerie and some of those songs. And I mean, I was getting lightheaded. I'm hitting these notes going, oh man, somebody's going to have to prop me up at some point.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, thanks again, guys. God bless you.
Enjoyed it.
And be praying for the family as well.
Hopefully by the time you air this, maybe we'll know where the funeral is going to be and what time and such the like. We'd love to have you announce that.
I will do that. Get it to me just as quick as you can, because this is not going to be a lot of editing to get this part done.
Okay.
I'll throw a few things in and, you know, that's going to be it. I want to get the message out to everybody as soon as possible and let them know more about Kevin. So, if you want to send me some music to put on the show, that'd be fantastic.
And you got any of the old Sweet Comfort Band songs? I guess we could play the old stuff.
Yeah. I don't.
We'll see.
Yeah, you know what? You can come down to my studio, check it out.
I'd love to.
You're welcome.
I would love to do that. You give me the address, and I'll be there, buddy. All right.
Good.
God bless you. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Okay. Well, I put off finishing this show for a day or so because I've been waiting for details on the funeral. Well, we haven't heard yet, but I wanted to get this out to you. So keep an eye out on the show notes page at lifespringonline.com/original. And as soon as I hear, I will post it there. Thanks so much for joining us today. Your prayers for the Thompson family would be much appreciated, I'm quite sure. I want to thank Brian Duncan and Rick Thompson for coming in to share some time with us to remember Kevin Thompson. Also, they sent me a few tracks to insert into the show today, so many thanks for that as well.
If you'd like to comment on what you've heard today or on what Kevin Thompson or the Sweet Comfort Band has meant in your life, you might want to go to brianduncan.com and leave a comment on the blog post that Brian wrote for Kevin. And of course, comments are welcome on the LifeSpring show notes page as well at lifespringmedia.com. You can phone our comment line at 951-732-8511 and leave a message, or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And don't forget, you can get a free audiobook right now by going over to audiblepodcast.com/lifespring. And now, as promised, here's Kevin's favorite Sweet Comfort Band tune, Get Ready. Listen for the bass line. Till next time, God bless you. I'm Steve Webb.